The following is presented by the Cheeky Bastards.
Come out to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Dropping a Bruce, a monthly podcast where we take a look at every single one of the 40 direct-to-video releases in Bruce Willis's acting catalog to see if he took the role for a paycheck and dropped a deuce, or if, in fact, he took the role and gave it his all and dropped a Bruce. I am the Notorious Scott K.
And from the UK, this is Steve, but you can call me Mr. Smith.
And together, we will be your captains on this three-plus-year journey through the lesser-known movies of Mr. Bruce Willis's filmography. And we get this train rolling with his very first direct-to-video release, the 2008 neo-noir crime comedy, Assassination of a High School President. Welcome, folks, to the very first episode. A year in the making, we decided a year ago to bypass this because Mr. Willis was diagnosed with a brain disorder. It's something like dementia. He's now been since diagnosed further with frontal temporal dementia, which is not good. Sadly, one day the great Bruce Willis will not know who he is, will not know that he did any of these movies. We are not here to make fun of him. We are here because we have a true love of Bruce Willis. However, I had a podcast that I started out 3 years ago called Nobody Put Nick in a Cage. We looked at Nicolas Cage. We looked at his great movies and his direct-to-DVD movies, because he had a very lumpy, large IRS tax bill to pay off, and he took a lot of roles. So, similar, we want to pay tribute to the great Bruce Willis, but the last of his career, the last 26 movies that have come out, have all been straight to DVD. So, we are going to take a look at all 40 of them, because we want to remember the man the way he was. We want to see, did he actually put in some performances? We just want to watch movies that we probably would not have seen, because we love the man, Bruce Willis. We're going to have fun doing this. We may talk some shit, but it's all in good fun because we truly do enjoy and love this man's work. We're just going to do the hard legwork for all of you out there who don't want to watch all these movies. And we're going to let you know what ones, hey, you know what? This was actually worth the view. Or, hey, guess what? You're welcome. We took the bullet for you. My friend, Mr. Smith, we've done it. Here we are a year later almost.
Well,
we're finally here.
Yeah, well, when you first mentioned the idea for the show, I loved it as a lifelong Bruce Willis fan, you know, from the days of Moonlighting to, you know, to all his great action movies and so on, to even to some extent his musical career. I've been a massive fan of Bruce Willis, but when, like, as you correctly point out, when the news broke, that just seemed like too much like bad taste to go forward with it. But as we've done podcasts over the last year together, I think we often mentioned it to each other as a shame that we didn't go through with it.
On our Cheeky Bastards Christmas episode, we did a Dropping a Bruce tie-in.
Absolutely. And since this, since the very sad news has dropped that he's been, you know, further diagnosed, I think you were right to bring it back into the fold, and we decided to take a very respectful and loving look back at his direct-to-video movies. There's bound to be some gems in there. There's bound to be some
some deuces in there. There's going to be some Bruces.
You know,
and
look,
some
in
deuces.
Any actor's career, there's going to be some bad movies, and with the sheer quantity, you know, that is bound to increase in this case. However, you know, I'm sure, you know, I love Bruce Willis. I always have, and he's got charisma for days. And you know, there's going to be movies that may suck, but he may be amazing in them. And that's what we're going to find out. Yeah, that's what we're here to find out.
So. Yeah, we used to try to find out, did Nick Cage, was he the best part of the film?
Yeah.
Even though it was a crap movie, was he the best part? And that's what I think we're going to find out here.
Yeah, if Bruce Willis is good in the movie, that is going to elevate the movie.
Yes.
If whether it's enough, we can't say right now. we will be sure to let you know. But I'm very excited because, as you pointed out as well, we're going to be seeing a lot of movies. That otherwise,
over the next 3+ years,
yeah, but that's 3 years. I can
40
do that.
Of his films. I will say, the irony of it is we start with assassination of a high school president, and it will end with a film that has yet to come out as of we record this, but it's his last one that'll drop, called Assassin. So there's a tie-in.
We will bookend
with some symmetry there.
Some real symmetry. But this is going to be a love and look. I'm very excited, because as you point, like I said, you pointed out that we would otherwise possibly not see these movies. We love movies. We love action movies. We love Bruce Willis. So there's going to be some, we're going to have some fun. That's for sure.
And we kick off that fun with our very first segment called
What You Talking About, Willis?
We're going to give you a little, the quick stats about this film. His very first direct-to-video effort.
Just the facts, man. Just the facts.
This film was released in 2008. Written by Tim Kalpin and Kevin Jakubowski, and directed by Brett Simon. Starring Rhys Thompson, Bruce Willis, Misha Barton, Michael Rapaport, Catherine Morris, Emily Mead, and Josh Pace, with a running time of 93 minutes. It holds a 6.2 rating on IMDb and a 50 critics and 46 fans rating on Rotten Tomatoes. At a Catholic high school, a sophomore news reporter investigates a case of stolen SAT exams. He thinks he's nailed the suspect and managed to get the popular girl when he realizes a larger conspiracy is afoot. Yari Film Group and Vertical Entertainment present Assassination of a High School President.
48 months, 1,461 days. High school is prom, football games, boyfriends, girlfriends, party at the rich kid's house. Fun, simple, wholesome. But it's really anything but. You want something juicy, you just gotta know where to bite. The name's Bobby Funk. I write for the paper.
Who?
Bobby Funk. I write for the paper.
You've never finished an article.
Well then, do you wanna go to homecoming with me? Hey, what's going on?
Can you hear? Somebody took the SATs last night. All of them.
Where are my missing SATs?
That boy will do whatever it takes to win. That's PMW. That is the Paul Moore way.
Whoever stole the SATs, I need you to find them and get them back.
Where were you that night? Where were you between 7:45 and 8:10 that night?
Where were you last night?
Habla en español.
I gotta go talk to some people.
I assume you all know why you're here.
Let me guess. You finally want to start that boy band you've been dreaming about.
I think that chick just winked at me.
Oh, she's not bad.
Yeah, for a pirate. I seem to have lost my date to homecoming, and I wanted to know if you'd go with me.
You want to go to homecoming with me?
Someone could be the school joke one day, and then go to homecoming with the hottest girl at St. Donovan's the next.
I don't know your involvement in all this, but I'm watching you. Like this, Funky. Big on you.
I managed to implicate our school president in assorted theft.
Get him out of here.
I'm a patsy!
In the process, steal his girlfriend.
I'm so gonna corrupt you.
I also needed to get my license.
And when we come to an object in the road, like a dog, we...
Money disappears and then reappears. This is bigger than me and you.
Oh my God, I'm gonna slap you in the face.
You won't believe some of the stuff that I've uncovered. Point shaving, theft, embezzling, a pharmaceutical drug ring.
Does that gum in your mouth?
That's irrelevant.
I don't like gum.
Now, Mr. Willis is in this film in a supporting role. He plays Principal Jared T. Kirkpatrick, a Desert Storm war hero turned educator who tries to run his school like a military outfit, all the while reminiscing about leading men during wartime. Now, this is 2008, so this is, God, 15 years ago now.
Crazy to think.
I got to preface this, folks. I think we may have started off with a real gem to start with, and I feel like it's at that first date, you know, like you go on a date, it goes really well, you have mind-blowing sex, and after date one, it does not ever get as good. So I have a feeling... The first time I watched this, which was a year ago, so I've seen it now twice. The first time I watched it, sitting there going, God damn, Willis is really good in this film. Yeah. I was like, I really like him as this fucking principal. I was like, he's a great comedic actor. I was like, this is really good.
Oh, there's some absolute gems in this movie.
It is funny. It is, anyone has seen the movie Brick, It's in a vein of Brick, where Brick is a more serious whodunit, where they really lean into the neo-noir tropes of the private investigator, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt, his co-star in Looper, the younger version of him, a young Bruce Willis. that movie is definitely stays more along the line of a whodunit high school, basically a noir film in high school. It's a murder whodunit in a high school setting. This is more of a, it's the old reporter type of finding out stuff going on, and it's funny, but it does definitely lean on a little bit of those neo-noir tropes. And the acting in this, I'm going to be honest with you, is great. It really is well done.
Personally, I think I like this more than Brick.
I can understand that because it's fun. It's just a fun watch. It's a fun sit-through.
Right. This is like a cross between like John Hughes and Raymond Chandler.
It's the best non-John Hughes film, right? Best John Hughes film that wasn't made by John Hughes.
The lead kid in it, Bobby Funk. He's got his little notepad and pencil on. He's got his trench coat as well. if he had a trilby hat with press sticking out of it, he would be all right. But yeah, like you say, you know, because this follows the tropes of the high school comedy, but it infuses the proceedings with totally like film noir. But I think that's like, it's hard to put this into words, maybe a bit more realistic than Brick in the sense of, I mean, I think the violence and style of Brick is a bit implausible and clearly a bit more of a fantasy written by some. I mean, Brick is probably written by somebody who went to private school.
Yeah. Right, Ryan Johnson. Ryan Johnson's very first foray.
He probably went to private school. This is like his idea. This is like his idea of what goes on in
which is funny
school.
That we were talking about as a private school.
Well, yeah, I know. But do you know what I mean? But yeah, but that's my point is, but this seems fairly accessible and understandable and relatable. Where I don't think you really got that in Brick. Brick was a bit more stylistically, that was a bit more heightened.
Yeah, no, he took Ryan Johnson took a 1940s gumshoe, hard-boiled crime story and decided, what if the setting wasn't a high school?
It does work for his crime. Absolutely. No, I'm not dissing Brick.
This is a funny, easier watch than Brick is, for sure. Brick is serious. This is not serious at all.
Brett Simon, who directed it, hasn't really done done much else. I can't believe that.
I know. This is well put together. Everything is fantastic.
I think people obviously realize already, we really fucking like this movie.
Oh my God. And like I said, I was the first to watch it a year ago. And I thought, okay, let's see. And it starts off, I'm like, I'm enjoying this. And then Willis comes on scene. Now, they introduce Willis in brilliant fashion. Some SAT scores have been stolen, and we realize quickly that Bruce is now our principal. You forget he's in the film because, you know, you see his name come across, and as I think we're going to find out in a lot of these films we watch over the next 39 plus, is that he's probably, for quite a few of them, he's more of his name's being used, he does more of a supporting role, and he comes in, he gives a performance, and then either it's great, or he just gets a paycheck, and that's what we're here to decide.
I'm hoping he's going to take care of business.
I do know that he's got to be the star of at least three films, because they're a trilogy that we will get to towards the end of his career.
This is true.
So he's at least the star of at least three films in a row, which I cannot wait to get to those, but we won't give them away yet, because those, just the premise alone, is fucking absurd. Yeah. However, in this absurd film, he is fucking brilliant, and you know right away you're in for it, because they get their usual suspects, as I like to call it. They've got these five kids they brought in, and there's always, it is a usual suspects total nod.
Because there are
four guys there who you know should be there, and then our verbal Kent, our Kaiser Soze character, is this kid Funky. Yes. But it's just different. He's no mastermind. He just happens to be there, like, why am I even here? Because he chews gum. He's there because he chews gum.
Yeah, just
the other four, yes.
Yeah, just an aside though, when I was a kid, I was in a similar situation, right? Where we all got called into the headmaster's office, right? And he went along us all, and he looked at me, and he went, I might have known you'd be in here. And I'd never been in there before. I've never even been in trouble before. So I was like, what the fuck? I was only like nine. I was like, what do you mean? You might have known I'd be in here. I've never been in trouble before. But you're right. This is a total usual suspect nod. Absolutely.
And we get to meet these four characters, these four men who are brilliantly played. But my favorite is Vincent Piazza. He plays Ricky De La Cruz. His whole little speech when they're sitting there waiting for the principal. You don't know the principal yet, but you have an idea it's probably going to be Bruce. Yeah. But you're sitting there in the office, and he comes in and starts talking about, I hope he goes to juvie, they're going to fuck him in the ass. But just the way he does it in broken English and like the Spanish accent that he's affecting is fucking fantastic.
He plays Lucky Luciano in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's right. I knew he looked familiar.
Because all the way through,
yes.
I'm obviously, he looks so much younger in this. I'm looking
yes,
at him.
But it's not that far away from each other.
No, but he looks so much younger.
I know.
That's why I couldn't figure it out.
Oh.
I was like, I know this guy from somewhere.
He's brilliant.
He's so good.
Brilliant. Him and then the other actor is John Magaro, who plays Ciparetto. I wish they made a sequel, and we got to watch these kids. These kids were a blast. Very rarely do you have like this kind of side characters who you actually want to know more about. Like
every time they're on screen,
they were fucking brilliant.
I don't think there's any wasted characters.
No,
they're all.
And they all are, they're not one note either. They all are who they are, and it's fucking brilliant. They
even
just keep going with it.
Even the girl with the eye patch. I want her to have her own movie. She barely says a word, but I'm like, she's so sinister and
but
weird.
But Dela Cruz makes out with her.
Yes.
He's so
great.
Good.
But yeah, like I say, I was watching it. I'm like, I know this guy from somewhere, and that he plays Lucky Luciano in Boardwalk Empire.
They're so great. And then Bruce comes in, and you're like, how is he going to save the scene? He comes in, straight up military type guy, but he's really leaning into it. Like, he's leaning into it.
Yeah.
He knows he's playing a farce of it, and he does it. He doesn't go too far. He does it beautifully. And a female shows up, and she says something about, oh, you're starting your own.
Oh, don't go too
far. We'll save it. But the line he delivers. The first time I heard it, I laughed my fucking ass off.
It's a choice line, but that's going to come up because
it's great writing. It's great writing. Like, these two gentlemen were, look, if those of you who don't know, who have joined us, I'm a Tarantino fan. I love writing. And there's not. These gentlemen have paid attention to some of the greats. They have paid attention to whether you want to watch all the John Hughes movies or even some of the Superbads, the stuff from the 90s, all the raunchy comedies. But they built it with where it worked. Like, they knew the lines for laughs and when to hit them. It wasn't just dick and fart jokes throughout. They landed them when they needed to. They really leaned into also being it part of a noir film, making it this investigative reporter. But boy, when they used those side characters to deliver juicy lines,
because
as he's walking down the line, he says some of you have been something. He goes, and maybe a little abuse. And he's doing the fucking two fingers up the ass in front of Dela Cruz, like your parents have abused you too much.
Honestly,
just brilliant.
Because we're going to discuss later some of the best lines in the film.
and there are a lot of great lines
in the movie.
Brilliant ones. But Bruce's opening salvo is fucking amazing. I knew right then and there, this is going to get my stamp of approval. I knew it.
Yeah. Literally, his first line is, what effing a-hole would do something like this? You know, because he's at school, he's trying to not use bad language.
Yes, he does use bad language. Then he says that some of you have been abused too much by your parents, and he's doing the finger up the ass.
And he's really got it in for people who chew gum.
Oh my God, right? Exactly.
He threatens to kill someone at one point.
four of them are brought in because they stole SATs and one for chewing gum in class. Chases ass.
He threatens to kill him, so we'll kill you.
However, another character that was not lost, and he's my first note. What the fuck is up with the Spanish teacher? I love him.
I thought you were going to say someone else then, actually.
He is brilliant. he sings. But then he's trying to do that investigative reporter, that little fluff piece for the high school president, and he's in the shower interviewing him. The fucking Spanish teacher.
He's in the
butt naked showering with a brush, and he's like slapping himself on the chest. I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but I was thoroughly enjoying it. I loved that they were quietly leaning in to maybe this priest, who's the Spanish teacher, might be a pedophile. They might be leaning hard into it.
Subtext comes into it there, does it? It's just pretty much on the nose.
Plays it brilliantly.
Yeah, I mean, that actor, he's in quite a lot of... He's in Joker, A Beautiful Mind, Phone Booth, Rounders, Motherless Brooklyn, another Bruce Willis.
This is his best role.
Supporting
actor.
I don't give a shit. I haven't even seen some of them films, but this is fucking definitely better.
Oh, he was so good. He was so good.
Yeah. When it comes to dialogue and characters, this film is bursting at the seams, I think. Literally every scene has got an absolute peach of a line in it. Or a new character comes into it. Yeah, just the reverence.
It's the Paul Moore guarantee. Like, even Paul Moore, this guy's a fucking clown. Yeah, he's talking like The Rock.
I mean, the assassination of...
of his character.
Yeah, I mean, that is what the assassin... I mean, it makes it sound like someone gets killed. But,
yes.
But the meaning of the film is actually it's a character assassination, obviously. And he talks to himself in the third person, doesn't he?
Yes, yes.
Like, he's not really a douchebag, though, is he?
And until he gets framed for the SATs, he's almost always in a towel and not a shirt on. Like, even when they call him out, when they even bring him out, he's in a towel. Like, it's so absurd, the stuff that happens in the film, but it works so perfectly. I put down, movies have always made high school out to be, especially here in America, something it's not. Like, no one gives a fuck about the school president or its class officers, like they try to make it to be. But I think that's part of what this movie's about, is just making fun, but having a good time doing it, and yet still telling a really funny and engaging story. You know, it's not just this farce. You know, in the 90s, they came out with, the Scream fakes and the Scary Movies knockoffs, like Hot Shots Part 2 and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's not like there's a lot of murders happening at the high school or the college where it becomes just like this implausible farce, like you say. Yeah. It's dealt with in a kind of, I mean, it's not quite realistic, but relatable. Definitely relatable. And you can sort of...
it makes fun of the class structure in high school.
Yeah, and the archetypes, the characters... you can totally, you knew someone like that at high school or college. You knew people like that. Definitely. We all did, and that's why they're there. I mean, that's why they're archetypes. That's why we relate so well to it. And even Bruce Willis's character, he reminded me of certain, there's aspects of his character that just reminded me of certain teachers, certain.
So that also was funny for me because he's playing a Gulf War veteran. Now, again, I guess maybe because I'm a veteran myself, I can now make fun of this. Well, some people would probably chastise me for it. But the Gulf War was not a very tough war. If anyone remembers the Gulf War in the early 90s, America pretty much landed in Kuwait, forced the Iraqis to turn the fuck around, and it was over in about 100 days. Wasn't a whole lot going on. We pretty much obliterated them. Not what it was like when I went over there, and we were there for 8 years in Iraq, and then only like 15 or 20 years in Afghanistan for God knows why we were there for that long. Well, we all know. Anyways, that's not what this podcast is about. But I've always found it funny that people like him, because there was, you had World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and then the little skirmish in the desert. And I feel bad for the guys who are part of that, because then you had our war. We were at war longer than both Vietnam and fucking the World War. So then you got these poor guys who are in this blink of an eye war, and he's pretending, he's talking like it's like he's
like
in Vietnam.
General Patton or something. Yeah. What was that kid written on the side of his car?
CIA. Yeah, yeah. Stupid or something. Yeah. I laughed so hard because I also knew someone just like him. Again, if we have any Gulf War veterans listening, I'm not making fun of you, but we all know that unfortunately, when it came to war, you got the little one that people are like, oh, yeah, that was cool. You went there? You know what I mean? You weren't there all that long. I'm just saying it wasn't the war everyone made it out to be, but I love that Bruce Willis is got that 1,000-yard stare when he's talking about it. And again, this is 2008.
Did he say the occasional exploding dog?
I loved it. I loved every moment that he's on. And
no, he steals the show. He does obviously steal the show.
For being the biggest name in the film, he doesn't just collect a paycheck, in my opinion. I know we're jumping the gun here.
No way.
I don't know if it was because he was on set or if it was because all the other kids, everyone who's in this film performs. Just performs brilliantly.
Oh, everyone's great.
Like, it's hard to say who's the best because when they're on, whoever's speaking is stealing the scene until someone else speaks.
Absolutely.
Because there's when he's yelling at him about gum, or he's standing there, and then Cipriano, I love this fucking kid, and he's behind kissing him.
When he's doing the jerk off.
But then he goes up to the window and he drives.
Yeah, and he's got his ass out.
I actually think that was done, and Bruce Willis didn't know what was going on, and I think that was totally ad-libbed, and they kept it because the kid himself is laughing. He can barely contain himself watching it. It was fucking brilliant.
But I mean, at this point in Bruce Willis' career, this comes just after Planet Terror and Live Free or Die Hard, So he's still, he's...
He's still swinging.
He's swinging. Yeah.
Like we said, it'd be another 11 years before he'd do his last.
Absolutely.
Like, he doesn't do another, because our next episode we'll have for the second one is 3 years later. He doesn't start to get into the pigeonhole. And, this may be direct to video, and I thought I read there was some funding problems. They had some kind of the last second, the distribution company. So it missed getting to the theaters by a hair.
This is not based. This is just my I'm going to assume that when you talk about money issues, it was the marketing, it was the advertising of the film that probably they didn't have the money for.
You might be right.
I would imagine. I'm going to imagine, because everything else about the film, I think, I'm kind of, like I say, I only just watched this. You watched it a year ago.
And then I watched it this past
week.
Yeah,
so I watched it yesterday and I watched it again today. And what, both times I watched it, I'm thinking this should have been
a release. Yeah.
Or at least, even, do you know what? Even if it didn't reach theaters, it should have been more popular. It should have more of a reputation, at least.
I agree. Misha Barton, when we've gotten to her, she is fantastic. I forgot how
attractive. I'm not actually that familiar with her, actually.
So she did shows over here. So she's more famous for TV over here in the States.
Okay.
She's known for the OC over here in America. So that was her original claim to fame. So that was 03 to 06. She gets her claim to fame there. She did a couple other things here and there, but that's her real claim to fame, the OC, early 2000s. So this is 2008. She should have been able to ride that wave. I don't know. We had Superbad around that time. Like, Superbad came out, I think, 09. So this is predate Superbad. Like, this is...
Yes,
now,
absolutely.
Now,
yes.
It's similar, but they're not the same movie by any stretch of the imagination. They tell different stories.
I'd actually say this is far more sophisticated than that.
100% agree. I love Superbad.
Superbad's
great. Superbad just said, we're going foul mouth. We're going to do the whole thing foul mouth.
Yeah, they went all out.
And they went all out. And they fucking killed it. This one said, we're going to do it, but we're going to have a little more of a storyline.
This isn't a smutty movie
you get a little tit at the end. A little tits at the end.
But it's not like...
It's not... This is not Porky's.
It's not slapsticky. It's not...
No.
It's not that kind of movie.
No, Superbad went Porky's route, and this went more John Hughes Breakfast Club route.
There's nothing wrong with Porky's.
No, there's nothing wrong with either of them. They both have...
They're all Superbad. Yeah. This is operating on some kind of...
John Hughes level.
It is.
Yeah, it is. 100%. Yeah. This is definitely...
Yeah, heavily influenced.
He's not stealing from John Hughes, but they're definitely leaning in on their influences from John Hughes, no doubt, but doing it in their own very unique way.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were a kid of this time frame and you watched this movie, you would have no reference for the John Hughes movies and you would not notice it. Us being Gen Xers, we notice it, but he doesn't lean in on any of that. We don't have a Breakfast Club. We don't have any of that crap. Bruce Willis's character is a bit cut from the bull.
It's familiar.
Yes.
There's a familiarity to it. Before I forget, the nurse really reminded me of Daryl Hannah. I thought that was Daryl Hannah at first.
She's great, too. There are so many. The adults, basically, what I love about this is the adults are absolutely fucking useless. And I love it.
Yes,
and they could give two shits. They're just collecting a paycheck.
No.
They could care less.
Like the driving instructor as well.
I mean, the coach, even Michael Rappaport is the coach. He's just in on them playing basketball.
He's in it for like 2 minutes, but they count. They really count them 2 minutes.
was just brilliant. It was brilliantly done. It really was. And
even really
the small moment of violence that they portray, which isn't violence, but there's actually an assassination attempt, which I love.
Yes.
Paul Moore decides that there's an assembly being called he's been set up. He's been framed for stealing the SATs and changing them. He's a patsy. And so at an assembly where Bruce Willis, in all his gusto, and I put this down,
yes,
we need to make this a patriotic anthem here in America. He makes his own, song, and if I can find it, it'll be playing right now.
No, that I fought the Desert Storm. You know why? I fought for you kids, and I fought for this country and this school, for St. Donovan. No joke. Sometimes, I don't know, I can make you carried away, but I wrote this song last night, and I want you to sing it with me. If you want, you can sing it, you can march. Yeah. Come on, kids, sing it with me.
American.
That's what I am.
American.
Fighting in the sand.
What's going on?
On some school spirit rampage. He canceled AM classes to have a pep rally.
Yeah.
Our secret Patrick.
That's what I am.
American.
Fighting in the sand, yeah.
American.
You can sing if you want. You can march if you want.
American.
Fighting in the sand.
American.
That's what I am.
American.
Stand.
American.
Fight in the sand.
What a brilliant fucking song. And as this is ending, Paul Moore with a paintball gun is shooting everybody. And there's a reason he's doing it. He's basically trying to point out who are the people involved in this.
This is true, yeah.
And I love that he hits Bruce Willis's character in the shoulder. And he takes off his gun. I haven't winked. He's like pretending he's really been shot. And even when he takes him out to the police, he goes,
gun,
you almost got a kill shot there, Moore. Not bad.
With a paintball gun.
Oh, it was great. And I don't know if you noticed. Well, again, I'm sorry. You're not from America, so why would you go fuck? But there was a nod to the John Wilkes Booth assassination of President Lincoln, as when Moore, after he's done shooting, he jumps down from the roof and then injures himself and injures his leg. Same thing happened when John Wilkes Booth jumped from the booth. He broke his leg when he landed on the stage and limped away. So they did a little nod, historical nod for those people paying attention, to the John Wilkes Booth assassination of our 16th president, which I'm sure all the people in England know. I mean, come on, right? You're all about American history.
Oh, yeah. That is a standout sequence, the assembly.
Yes, great. There's a lot of good little sequences. They have a lot of great little back and forth. Yeah.
Again, like I say, I've only seen this film is new to me. Mm-hmm. I've seen it twice in 2 days, and I didn't really know about it before.
I know.
I'm kind of in that buzz at the moment.
The great thing is we did this for him, and like you last year, I sat down and said, "All right, let's see what this is about." And as it starts, I'm like, just like you are, I'm like, "How did this miss the theaters? Yeah. Like, how did this not get anything? Like HBO, like nothing. No one picked this up. No one.
This isn't on Netflix.
No, not anywhere. No.
Oh, also that with speaking of Bruce Willis's character. Character and the whole war vest or anything. He has only got one leg.
That's right. I almost forgot that they did.
But that isn't addressed, is it?
No.
That's not addressed, though. And the main character, Bobby Funk.
He's really good.
Great young actor, Reese Thompson, who I was not.
Not young anymore. He was young then.
Yeah, but neither are we. So let's not go too far into that.
I know.
But he's great. But he notices the one leg thing. Well, yeah, he never really gets addressed after that.
No, which is perfectly fine. Which I have no problem with him not addressing.
We don't need everything. No, but that's just another little one of those other little quirky things that you know. Never really gets
talked about. No. What is he? I'm looking him
he's
up right now.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Like, he's been in some stuff, but not like...
One of the worst Stephen King adaptations of all time, Dreamcatcher. He's had his moment.
This was his moment, and I don't think he got enough credit for it. I feel bad for him, to be completely honest with you. I think he should have had a better career because of this.
Well, I mean, he is the lead.
He's the 100%, lead. And he kills it.
And he totally kills it, and I've never seen him before, or since.
I know. And he was 20 when he took on that role. He was about 19 to 20 when he took that role on. And now, so he's
an unknown.
He's in his mid to late 30s now.
And I kind of get the feeling Bruce Willis, because this was...
Well, the two big names are Bruce Willis and Misha Barton at the time. At the time, Misha Barton's not as much now, but in that time frame, Bruce Willis is the star. Misha Barton is the next big name. They both kill their roles, but this Reese... He blows it away. He really does.
I think Brett Simon as well, the director. I think Bruce Willis was, you know, he's been fairly successful at working with, you know, new young directors, it's fair to say.
Yes.
And I imagine he thought this was going to be a bigger film than it was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, once you watch it, you wonder how it's not.
You know, this is a first-time director. Him and his people must have read that script and thought this guy could be the next big thing. This is a quirky, original, you know, irreverent black comedy that, you know, like Heathers, something like Heathers.
Yeah.
And like you say, all the, you know, all the John Hughes and all that stuff. He probably thought this was going to be big.
Yeah, well, he was the director, speaking of, he did a lot of Snow Patrol. For some reason, he must be big fans of the band Snow Patrol. He did a lot of their videos. He's done almost all of their videos.
He's a music video director.
Yeah.
Initially.
So after Assassination, he did a bunch of videos for Snow Patrol. He did a TV series. He did one episode of a TV series called Playdates. He then did a movie called Better Start Running.
But that's quite new, isn't it?
10 years later, in 2018.
Yeah, see? So
Snow Patrol videos, and then he did an episode of The Society on TV in 2019.
But usually they do music videos, then they direct the movie.
Yeah.
That's kind of, he's gone the other route. And then, his second movie is like you say, 10 years later.
Yeah.
Which is just strange that this film seems to have like sunk without a trace.
I know.
But
it
not
really
anymore.
Is.
Not Not anymore.
Thanks to the great Bruce Willis and us following his VOD, video on demand or director, however you want to call it, back to VHS, however you wanted to decide these direct non-theatrical releases.
Do we call them straight to video? Do we call them straight to streaming?
Straight to video, I guess. VODs, video on demands, DVD, VHS, whatever. How about this? Non-theatrical releases.
That's a bit of a mouthful. I was hoping for something snappy, you know, like I get VOD,
direct
not
to video, direct to demand, whatever.
I don't know. Like
it didn't come to your theater. Like that's it. All you know. All you know is it didn't get to your theater.
Yeah.
So
anyway, that's not important, right?
No,
now.
They went straight to DVD. Unfortunately, bypassing the normal sausage pattern
we
of
can't
making
call
this.
It S- we, I like straight to DVD, but we can't call it STD.
These films got STDs, all right? Straight to DVD.
Oh, no.
I can't say enough of how much I was surprised by this film. And I also know what's coming up. And there's a few I've got a chance. I watched the first three because I was prepping last season or last year when we were going to do it.
Yeah.
So I do know that of the first three, two are pretty darn enjoyable. One is fucking god awful. However, this, I don't know. I feel like this is definitely
the
bar.
Thank you very
we have set
much.
The bar very high right out the gate. Like, we're very
Bruce
enthusiastic.
Set the bar high,
I feel like
Bruce.
We're laughing and enjoying talking about this because of how much we enjoyed the film. I have a feeling in a couple of these, we're going to be laughing and having a good time about how much we couldn't stand the film and how ridiculous the shit that happened in it was. They won't be nearly as fun.
I'm sure we can find stuff to love about all these movies, I'm hoping.
Well, this film, as we close out this portion of just talking about it, basically, I'll just give you the backstory. A young man is writing for the local school paper that no one, let's be honest, no one gives a fuck about the school paper. No one reads them. No one gives a shit about them except the people writing for them. But in this film, everybody reads the paper. As if they're old people.
He's a complete laughing stock.
He starts off as a laughing stock.
Yeah.
He gets a simple assignment that turns into something bigger than he thought it was. He's doing a fluff piece on the president of the high school. All of a sudden, he gets busted, supposedly for stealing all the SATs and changing the scores, and he gets kicked out of the school, and he's the one who turned him in, and everyone thinks he's the greatest thing. And then the popular girl likes him, and he starts banging her, and everything's going well, and then he realizes that he's been set up, and so is the other guy, and now he's the laughingstock of the school, and he has to save his reputation, and he uncovers the real conspiracy in a very funny way. We didn't even talk about the three fucking idiots.
Oh man,
rap in the garage.
There's so much to talk. You were talking us through the plot. Then I was thinking that
it is just a mirror turned on suburban white people who think they can rap. It was making so much. I loved it. It was making so much fun of it. Yeah.
Awful white rappers. There's the twin. Or I don't know if they're twin brothers or whether they're just brothers.
They're brothers, but they're both.
But they're making mother jokes about their own mother, obviously, because they're making your mother jokes to each other, and you're like, that's our mom.
I think one of the rap lines is something about he eats pussy with chopsticks or something like that. That's like, talking about?
Yeah, this is a funny movie. But the main character, Bobby Funk, everyone pronounces his surname wrong.
Yeah, it's Funky. It's the running thing.
Yeah, it's the running. But there's a really funny bit where he's on the phone to the principal of another university.
Oh, no, it's the guy. So he's trying to get into that Northwestern summer writing program. And this guy treats it as if he's going to write it in the New York Times.
But he calls it. He says, is that Bobby Funky? And he goes, no, it's pronounced Funk. And he goes, no, it's not.
They make so much fun of things. But it's so
irreverent
well done.
Is the word really for this film. It's so inconsequential. It's just brilliant.
Did you ever get a man on your back, breathing hard, riding you like a horse? No. I assume you all know why you're here.
Let me guess. Finally want to start that boy band you've been dreaming about.
Landis, do I come down to the strip club where you work and knock the dick out of your mouth? Against the wall. You're late.
Actually, I'm not entirely certain why I'm here, sir.
Really? It's fascinating.
This
is why you're here.
This. That chick.
You've got a gum problem.
rapidly turning into an attitude problem. That's why you're here. You are all filth. Your parents have obviously spoiled you, or in your case, possibly abused you. A little too much. Now, one of you little vermin broke into this office and stole the SATs last night. Of this I am certain. But I beg you, I beseech you, do not come forward. Because I will have the pleasure of tracking you down, much the same way that I tracked down that camel-humping ammunitions envoy 2 clicks east of Tigris, the birthplace of civilization.
Well, we are going to talk about our favorite parts of this and then decide if there was a Bruce dropped or a Deuce dropped.
Favorite scene.
Favorite scene, sir. What was your favorite scene of the many hilarity-induced scenes that we've talked about?
Well, that's why I had to watch this film twice, because, quite honestly, there were so many.
Yes.
But my favorite scene is the assembly scene.
The paintball sniper scene, as I've named it.
Well, no, actually, okay.
So the whole scene, because they go to the assembly,
yeah,
they're
no,
singing.
Actually,
and, yeah.
Okay, the Bruce Willis sing song.
Oh, the patriotic song, where he makes all
American,
of them sing.
American, that's what I am. American fighting in the sand. That bit just cracked me up. Because he's so sort of deadpan in this film as well.
He's also tongue-in-cheek making fun of his own singing career. It's just brilliant.
And making fun of the tough guy movies that he's made.
Yes, brilliant. He's brilliant in it. It's my favorite scene as well. With a close second. Second.
Yeah, yeah.
To the boys' shower room interview, we suddenly realize the Spanish teacher is in there showering with the students. That reveal is fucking hilarious. I laughed my ball off the second time.
You know what? I definitely think we're on the same page here, because I chose the best of the assembly scene as my favorite scene. My runner-up was going to be the shower scene.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, so, it's hilarious.
No. So are you saying the shower scene is your favorite scene?
Second favorite. That's my runner-up. My favorite is the assembly.
No, so
the paintball
assembly
sniper
scene is your favorite.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
No, I mean, that's clearly such a standout
It's
scene.
So bizarre. Because of Bruce singing, then the paintball shooting. It's just ridiculous. It's
everything
so much fun. Everything
about that scene is so meta.
You know what? Being that I work in a school district, it just makes fun of how adults have assemblies and think that kids give a fuck about the assemblies, and they think they're going to be this big come to Jesus type moment, and they're really pointless. The kids just like it because they get out of fucking class. It made so much fun of it. I just absolutely loved it. And that Bruce Willis was leaning into it and singing a song. It was so fucking great.
I just thought, you know what? We'll come back to it. Let's get through what we're meant to be getting through. I can't admit, there's just another scene that cracked me up so much, but let's not ruin the flow of where we are. So the best scene, really. We agree. We agree.
Our top two, even our runner-up. Because I had it down as a runner-up, saying close second is the shower.
Yeah, the runner-up is mine too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And here's the funny thing. When people watch it, it's not funny until he turned around and he's there.
No.
And you're just like, he's still holding onto that weird high-pitched Spanish he's talking in. And he's just hitting himself with a soap brush. So fucking great.
Okay, so that's a classic.
I do believe our favorite one-liner or favorite quote or dialogue from the scene is the same, but I will give it.
You get to go first.
Well,
on
just,
that one.
All right.
Best one-liner.
A young girl named Landis comes in as he's reading the riot act to these young men, and I forget his lead in, and she goes, oh, what, you're getting to start the boy band you always want to start? And Willis turns around and goes, Landis, do I come down to the strip club where you work and knock the dick out of your mouth? That is.
And she's, how old is she, like 17?
17. Do
that's
I come down
crass
to the strip club you
that's
work and
a
knock the dick out of your mouth?
Well, no, because he's such a military, stand-up, straight-laced
so
guy.
Good.
For him to say that to, like, a 17-year-old girl just seems so, like, out of left field.
And
you know,
so good.
Just, yeah,
good.
No, that is actually my favorite line, too. So that was just peach. That was just a peach of a line.
The minute he delivers that, was already in the movie. I was like, okay, this is pretty good.
No,
I'm
not
really liking
too,
this. But as soon as that happens and we get our usual suspects and they're starting and then he keeps it going.
To be honest with you, that didn't even matter what happened after that.
No.
I was in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's actually my favorite line of dialogue, too.
And I was glad that the ne'er-do-wells that he brings in weren't just in that scene. I was glad we got to see them more throughout the rest of the movie.
And they were the right people to have in there.
They were fantastic.
They were the people. So right away, he had the right people.
He did.
Yeah.
Although it was so good.
Takes a movie to get.
Best performance.
All right, sir, your pick for best performance, not necessarily your favorite character, but who you had the best performance in the film?
Well, right question. Reese Thompson as Bobby Funk. This kid just, you know, I'd never seen him before. I haven't seen him since. But he totally carries the movie. He's believable. There's a certain type of movie where at the end, the underdog hero punches out the villain. And sometimes you think, that wouldn't have happened. But he really sells it when he punches the fucking, you know, the villain of the piece. Yeah. When he, you know, when that's all kind of, that's all been revealed.
Getting wrapped up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's getting wrapped up and he gets to punch the bad guy. Sometimes that's a little bit, yeah, you know, that doesn't really, it doesn't really come across as, you know, real or plausible. But it does in this, you know, when he punches the guy, yeah, you fucking believe he could have done it, you know. But he's a great actor. He really is the part. He really, you believe, he's got that presence and believability. So, yeah, definitely, he's my favorite character. My favorite performance.
Mine is actually John McGarro as Ciparetto. And look, to pick a best performance in this film is hard.
Very difficult. There's
no wrong answer because it just who spoke to more. But what I loved about Ciparetto is he's a pain in the ass. He's stealing the pencils in the beginning. He falls to a table when they're drunk doing fucking beer pong. He does the pull down the pant. Like he is so good. Everything he's doing, he's fantastic. He's tied up for no reason with the lights. Like, everything about him I loved. What sold it for me is he decided that in this scene, I'm going to pull my ass out with Bruce Willis. And it was just, to me, I was like, that is ballsy, well, sir. You know, I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. And he even does that thing where, I mean, I know it was a bit gross, but he farts in his hand, doesn't he? He puts it in Bobby's face. Yes. And you're just like, but you've got kind of like, these kids are just fucking around.
The total fuck ups. Yeah.
It's totally real. Yes. You know, what people do.
We all know these delinquents. Yes, we all know these delinquents are not going anywhere.
Yes, no, he's great in it. He is great in it. He's actually in the Sopranos movie, The Many Saints of Newark. I've watched it. And again, he was another one. I was like, I know that kid from somewhere. Finally, he's playing like an old gangster who's going bald in The Many Saints of Newark.
I mean, it's 15 years later, 14 years later.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. He's in his mid-30s now. Of course he is.
Yeah, but this is a new movie to me. So I'm like, that's how old he is now.
I know.
Favorite character.
Now, best characters next, and that's not the same. Performance and character different. I cheated. I have two. There's a tie. To me, there's a tie. The best characters are the Spanish teacher and De La Cruz. The two of them, because they affect little accents. When the Spanish teacher is teaching Spanish and he only will speak in Spanish, but he does it with this very condescending, high-pitched voice. ¿A por qué?
Yeah.
And he's like, en español.
It's quite feminine.
¿A por qué? En español.
Yeah, he's actually my favorite. He's my favorite character, too.
But him and De La Cruz. But then De La Cruz, too. He's like, you know, you're a fucking ass. Like, just everything he's doing is just
he says that, he goes, do you ever do the gay?
Yes. Oh, the two of them are just fucking peaches. I love them. They're my two favorite characters.
No,
they're brilliant.
Josh Pais, I think, is the
priest?
The Spanish. Oh. Yeah, Padre Newell. Padre Newell.
Padre.
He is so funny, though. Do you know what? I was absolutely... Because I loved him straight away, but the shower scene is the best.
Because it starts out... If they hadn't put him in... If you didn't get to see him in Spanish class... Like, the only class they ever put him in is Spanish class, which I love. The only class we go to is Spanish class. But if they hadn't put him at the beginning of that, it wouldn't have worked in the thing, but it's...
No, you had to see
it. It's brilliant. Breathe. They're both hilarious.
Just like randomly, the camera just turns to him, and he's got like
a
shower brush.
The funny thing is, he's been there the whole time behind him.
He's not even playing like American. I guess
he shouldn't even be in there. They're showering after gym, and he's just showering for to shower.
Yeah, but yeah, no, he's my favorite character too.
Oh, so that comes down to this:
the moment of truth.
My good man, on our first episode of Dropping a Bruce, did Bruce Willis drop a Bruce or did he drop a deuce?
Listen, this is a definite two thumbs up, Bruce. This is an absolute Bruce. There's no stink on this movie. On my Letterboxd account, it's got a 2.5 out of 5. You know, look, that's an average movie. But for a straight-to-DVD movie that I didn't even know about till yesterday, to have an average score is actually pretty decent. In time, these things can change. That may go up, but it certainly wouldn't come down enough.
No.
No, mm-mm. This is like, look, it's my initial view, and things need to gestate with me for a while before I can be that strict. But it's like an average movie as a whole, but in the realms of the straight-to-DVD vibe, I would probably give it a 3.5, which, you know, to be fair. But this is, yeah, as I stated, this is a 2 thumbs up, Bruce. I don't know where people can find this movie. Can you stream anywhere?
I think I had to rent it again this time around. Actually, I have it that's still on Amazon Prime for right now. But again, this is March of 2023, so whenever you listen to this, it is always subject to change.
All subject to change. But it's definitely worth the price of admission and whatever.
Oh, agreed.
Absolutely. That's a fun, it's a fun night at home. Couple of beers.
You have a drinking game. How many times did I say his name Funky wrong? Yes. Drinking game.
Yes.
Drinking
actually,
game.
I think you might be onto something,
yep,
there.
Bingo.
Or whenever gum is mentioned.
Yeah.
One of the two. Yeah. So yeah, definitely two thumbs up for me. This is a Bruce. This is the Bruce.
I agree. This is definitely a Bruce. Bruce gives a truly fantastic comedic performance. And in my opinion, as I think I stated earlier, this is a hidden gem of his. This is what I'm hoping for more of. I am hoping for more of. I know, unfortunately, as we get to the latter part of this, majority of the films we are going to review, 26 in a row since 2019, have been nothing but straight to video.
That
I'm hoping
insane.
I'm hoping that there are some gems in there. I am. However, if not, if all we get out of this 40 video, this journey of 40 STDs straight to DVDs.
That's got to be a record. However,
if there is one STD you get, it's this one so far. This is the one
to boast,
yes,
about.
I put this as 3.5 stars on my Letterbox. Yeah. And the reason being, for what you said, because it's straight to video, because of a surprise it is, and because it is a fantastic film, it is up there. I would put it up there as just as enjoyable in watching as a Superbad or any one of the John Hughes films. If you like high school comedies, this is fantastic. And the characters in this are fucking amazing.
If you like Heathers, if you like Brick, I'm sure there's others.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for this movie.
Yeah, let's get this popular. Let's get some groundswell for this. Let's make this
everybody.
A cult film, folks.
You
come on.
Whoever's listening to this, spread the word.
Yes,
you know?
Bruce Willis needs
word
us.
Word of mouth.
Yes.
Yes, word of mouth. Yeah, Bruce Willis is the man. Let's face it. We need his reputation kept intact.
Yes,
you know. So that's why we're doing this. And you know what? I'm very strict when it comes to movies and when it comes to rating movies. Yeah. So average is. That's something to be happy about. If I think a film is average, a lot of very good movies are at 2.5 on my list on Letterboxd, and this joins them. That's no criticism to be average, because you know before you've got your above average, you've got your classics. You know, come on, you know you've got to be reasonable here. But this is a fun time, and as you pointed out, I think that'd be a good drinking game. That'd be a good night with your buddies. Get this movie on, get some beers. Every time his name's pronounced wrong or someone's threatened for chewing gum, by the end of the night you'll all be shit faced.
The end of the night, before the movie gets the credits, you'll be fucking gone.
Yeah, you might not make it to the end.
He most definitely dropped a Bruce.
And that will do it for our very first episode. Please feel free to reach out to us on the show's socials, which can be found in the show notes, and tell us what you thought of this film, how you feel about Bruce as an actor, or even to let us know what you think about the show. We'd also greatly appreciate it if you give the show a like, leave us a review, and follow the show on the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, where you can find other amazing podcasts dedicated to such iconic action stars as Stallone, Lundgren, Van Damme, Schwarzenegger, and Seagal. The link to the network can also be found in the show notes. So won't you please join us again next month as Steve and I will be reviewing Bruce's role in 2011's action thriller heist film, Setup, to see if he dropped a deuce or if he dropped a Bruce. Until then.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
This has been a Man with an Exceptional Beard production.